This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blue torch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
And I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 39. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with me this week again is Keith Scott. He is gracing us again with his presence on the FitCast, and he's becoming a true FitCast co-host. And I just want to thank you again for joining me, Keith.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure, Kevin. Anytime you need some help, let me know, and I'll if my schedule permits, I'll be here.
Yeah, absolutely. John is a little busy right now still, and we have to understand that this is his busy time of the year, so we will be getting some more John Williams soon, I promise, but we just have to make it work out with both of our schedules. But first off, before we get into anything, happy birthday, Keith. He is spending some time with me today, even though he's having a party after the show. So I want to thank you, Keith, and happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. No problem. Birthday is actually Tuesday, but I appreciate it, and we're just going to celebrate a little earlier because that's the only time I have are my weekends. But thanks. I appreciate that. I think the last time we were on here was your birthday. So
yeah, it seems.
Or
it's that
yours, and then it was John's. Yeah.
Yeah. It works out pretty good that way. And before we let's just jump into the FitCast news, and I'll get into that later. But first off, in regards to the FitCast, we have a lot of news. We didn't have a show last week, obviously. I'm sorry about that. But again, scheduling just didn't work out, and John and I were both extremely busy, and we tried to make something work out, but we figured it just wasn't worth throwing together a bad show because of that. So I'm sorry about last week, but we're going to have a great show this week. We have a ton of news for you. First off, John Berardi's G-Flux interview is up on the FitCast Insider and the Insider Store, so you insiders can get a hold of that right now. And for everyone else, it's $4.99 to download. But in this interview, John really dissected G-Flux and makes it so simple to understand. It's like seeing his presentation that he does at all those seminars. It's really just an abridged version of that. So I hope all of you out there will check that out. Secondly, the JP Fitness Summit is coming up at the end of this episode. I'll have JP on for an interview to talk a little bit about his upcoming summit. There is, I'd say it's about 50-50 right now that I'm going to get there. I'll say it's a little bit better than 50-50, but I'm trying to get John there too so we can actually film a live episode of the FitCast at the JP Fitness Summit, because that week, or actually the week after that, will be the one-year anniversary of our first episode. Believe it or not, it's coming up
awesome.
Quick. So
yeah.
So if any of you out there still haven't checked out JP's upcoming summit, he does have a great lineup there. By all means, you should check out his site, jpfitnesssummit.com, to get more info on that, or just listen to the interview at the end of the show. More seminar news. Perform Better is coming up March 17th and 18th. I'm going to be there. Keith, you're going to be there?
Absolutely. Got my flying up, got my hotel, plane, registration, everything's all set, ready to go.
Awesome. It looks like it's going to be in a fantastic event. Again, Alan Cosgrove is going to be there. Even some people like Eric Cressy are going to be showing up just to watch the presentations.
Yeah, everyone's going to be there. I was told this is going to be a lot like the Ryan Lee boot camp as far as attendees. So it should be a really good time. St. Patty's Day in Boston, and with all those guys, it could get a little crazy too.
Absolutely. It should be a great event. Like I said, we're going to have the FitCast in full force there. I'm going to be bringing the camcorder. Hopefully, if I get it fixed in time. Yes, the camcorder is broken, but we're going to try to get that fixed. And also, I'll be bringing a bunch of T-shirts to hand out. So if you see me at the Perform Better Seminar, feel free to come up to me and say hi, like listen to the show, anything like that. Because the last seminar I went to, people were a little hesitant. And if you meet me, I'm a pretty easygoing guy, and I'm really flattered when you come up to me. And you get a free T-shirt. So
yeah, he looks mean, but he's really not.
Yeah, right. Next piece of news, I have a new article that's going to be up on Elite FTS either this week or next week. It's a really cool article that I put a lot of time into. It's just, well, I won't get into it too much. It's 20 things every lifter should know. People are going to say, oh, crap, it's another top 20 list or 20 things, this and that. But I'm doing it from a much different angle than a lot of people do there, so it's worth a look. Next up, my overreaction from the last episode of the FitCast. I overreacted about a nutrition class here at school, and, you know, I really shouldn't have overreacted so much. It was a bad day. I was told I should have had 550 grams of carbohydrates that day, and I was just thinking that's nuts. And I just want to apologize if I offended anyone out there. I didn't get any emails, but I felt kind of bad after that, so just want to say it's that one class that's kind of rubbing me the wrong way, and I love everything else here at Keene State. I mean, this is probably one of the greatest schools to be studying for this major. Even one of the students right now is at Mike Boyle's in Massachusetts, so I think he did pretty good interning there right now. But the next piece is the deal for this week. I just got in on this. I just placed a nice big $55 order at vitaminshop.com. Right now, two deals that I want to mention. First off, they have the Muscle Milk ready-to-drinks for $6.99 for a four-pack. And if you remember talking about this in the past, we talked about the creatine precursor that's in Muscle Milk that's not in the Muscle Milk ready-to-drink, so this might be a reason to pick some of these up. And not only that, but they also have Power Crunch bars, which are really low-sugar meal replacement bars. They're mostly whey protein. It's not casein protein, but it's not too big of a deal. And they have a for buy one, get one half off, and normal price is $12.99, so you can get two boxes for under $20. Pretty good deal.
Cool.
And this is the money maker right here. I have a code for all the FitCast listeners to get $20 off a $75 order at vitaminshop.com. Pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. The code is 8189, and you can just put that in the coupon code box when you check out. $20 off, $75 order. This ends March 11th, so you better get on this pretty quickly. But I was able to buy a ton of Muscle Milk ready-to-drinks because I love Muscle Milk and I don't like having anything go wrong with my brain chemistry. So that's a little joke poking at a T-Nation article. But it's definitely something to check out. The ready-to-drinks, they're convenient, especially for me as a college student. I like to just bring them around. And if I actually did the math, and it's actually cheaper to get the ready-to-drinks than to buy the powder. So that's another reason for it.
Wow.
So head over to thevitaminshop.com and you can get all that stuff there. Of course, I'll have links for it on thefitcast.com with the show notes. We're going to have a lot of the links this week. But without further ado, let's get out of that and let's jump into the real meat of the news. The news. Let's do it. Our first story this week is all about the T-Nation Spike Booster Drink, which I actually have one in my fridge right now that I got for free, and I still haven't drank it yet. And this might give you a little bit of caution, because there was a recent news story in Colorado where some kids got sick. I'm going to play a little audio clip for you, and you can listen yourself. Here it is.
What's now? This is the drink that's being banned in at least one Colorado high school, the hardcore energy drink Spike. It has at least three times the caffeine of a normal cup of coffee. And some kids say they got the drink right outside their school.
And tonight, more schools are warning parents about what their kids may be drinking and what can happen. 7 News reporter Russell Haythorne is live in Denver. And Russell, the company that makes it warns it may be a bit strong.
And it's so potent, even the can warns first-time users to only drink half the can in order to determine their tolerance. It's sold in just about every convenience store in the state, but it's already banned from Doherty High School in the Springs.
The label says it all.
Stimulant.
While Spike Energy Drink can provide adults a boost, it's apparently making kids sick at Smoky Hill.
It was actually really, like, hurting a bunch of people, like, speeding up their heart rate and stuff and making them sick. I had a friend who actually, like, ended up puking and had to go to the hospital for it.
That incident happened after the company allegedly distributed free samples of the drink outside the 7-Eleven near the high school. A big concern among parents.
Okay. I think the kids have enough energy as it is.
At Mahaney's Gym in Aurora, Spike is a hot seller and thought to be a good pick-me-up for adults before a workout.
Heed the warning.
But owner Matt Rousey points to the can's many warning labels.
As Americans, we think if one is great, two is going to be unbelievable. That's just not the case with this. It can affect you in negative ways.
The Colorado Springs-based company that makes Spike released a statement. Quote, we are being proactive in responding to the community's concern over this product getting into the hands of young kids and will not be doing any kind of sampling in close proximity to high schools.
I'm fine with Mountain Dew.
In Aurora, Russell Haythorne, 7 News.
Well, that audio clip just kind of says it all. For many of us out there, you're going to be saying, of course, 12-year-old shouldn't be drinking Spike. It says it right on the goddamn label to be over 18 to take this stuff. And another great piece from the audio clip was, I'll stick with Mountain Dew. That's awesome.
Yeah, I heard that. That's disturbing.
I don't know. Keith, what do you think about this? Do you think it's really that big of a deal and our T-Nation and BioTest are really going to have to pay for this?
Well, I mean, you know, I can look at it both ways. I mean, I worked in a high school for a long time, and I know exactly what happens when kids get hyped up on caffeine, and believe me, they do. And the fact that it says drink only over 18 is just more inviting. It's kind of like don't touch the wet paint. What's everybody going to do? They're going to touch the wet paint. It's the same thing. So, I'm a firm believer in responsibility, and it's like anything else. I mean, a kid, what's going to stop kids, and they do it anyway, from drinking three big things of coffee every morning before school? It's about the same amount of caffeine as a Spike shooter. Now, granted, the shooter has a lot of caffeine per can, and there is a clear warning on it that you should only drink half or drink it in small doses or work your way up to it, whatever it may be. But I think kids and parents have to take a little more responsibility for their actions than just trying to blame companies altogether. Not sure that that I agree with the fact that they were giving it out and you know, marketing it to whoever wanted to buy it. That might have been a little irresponsible because, of course, when you give away things for free or give anybody discounts, a lot more of those kids in that area are going to buy it. But, you know, BioTest did the right thing. They took it, you know, they took that little promotion thing away, and I think they're just selling it straight out now. And I just, like I said, it's like anything else. It's caffeine. There's caffeine in everything, which I know we're going to talk about in a little while, what kind of things have a lot more caffeine in it and what things to watch out for. But the bottom line is these kids have to take responsibility for themselves. And I think once they do that, you know, it's just like anything else. You have to be aware of what you're doing.
Absolutely. And we should mention, like Keith said, Tim Patterson said they will not be doing any free promotions near schools or any place where kids will be hanging out too much. So, like you said, Keith, T-Nation and BioTest are handling this the right way. And by all means, they're a really respectable company. I mean, they make some somewhat crazy supplements, but for the most part, they do a pretty good job. So I can't complain there. And I take Spike pills all the time, and I have no problem with them just because, guess what, I'm over 18, and I don't have more than two pills or more than one can, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've taken Spike before, too, and I've never had to drink, actually. I mean, I'd like to try it. I mean, but I've had Spike pills, and I like them. You know, they don't make me into Superman like some people think they do, and then they give you a boost, and some people I know they work for, some people they don't, and you know, I don't need them to work out. I mean, I've worked out for the last 3 months without them. I you know, I take them when I have them, and it's not a big deal either way. But I think it's, you know, like the whole T-Nation, you know, the whole BioTest company, I should say, is, you know, they're doing the right stuff. They make supplements. Some work, some don't, and people can judge what works best for them. But when it comes to this stuff, it's you have to be careful, like anything else. And I think T-Nation's doing, or BioTest is doing the right thing at this point, and they're trying to educate people.
Yeah, one of the common themes that people are going to see in this episode of the FitCast is the responsibility of parents, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But just some follow-up stories before we jump into our next main piece of news. Coca-Cola is going to start putting the caffeine content information on their U.S. label. So now, instead of just seeing caffeine in the ingredients list, you actually see the milligrams of caffeine in each serving of Coca-Cola on all their beverages. And also, in related news, Pepsi is actually coming out with a new form of Diet Pepsi called Diet Pepsi Max, which will actually have about a third more caffeine than the company's already popular Diet Mountain Dew, and is going to be aimed at consumers aged 25 to 34. Yeah, that's bullshit. And yep. It's just great. More caffeine in their sodas. Nothing better than that.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like we just talked about. I mean, you know, as soon as you put something like that out, that's the kids are going to drink it and they're going to be all over it. And but then again, it's up to the parents to educate the kids what to drink and what not to drink. I mean, luckily for me, I've never had coffee in my life. I don't even like the smell of it, so I was never a coffee drinker, and I wasn't a huge soda drinker either. But, you know, I think most of that was education. You know, I know other kids that I grew up with that, you know, had 4 to 5 sodas a day before lunchtime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but you got something higher in caffeine now, and that's what the kids are going to drink. So, again, it comes back to education and responsibility.
Yeah, and just one last follow-up of our caffeine discussion, and that is Dos Remedios actually posted a whole list of beverages and their caffeine content, and it was actually pretty interesting. You can find all these on the JP Fitness forums. I'll throw up a link to the whole list, but there was all these drinks, and some of them had even as much as Spike Boosters and even more. One of the drinks had, I think it was 350 milligrams of caffeine in it. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, the Buku Energy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this list is awesome. And by the way, Dose is awesome for putting this up here. But, I mean, the one thing I saw that just blew my mind is they have an energy drink out there called Cocaine Energy Drink.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's the name of it. And, I mean, who are they marketing this to? But, I mean, I can already guess. But it's a great list. And I've copied it, and I keep it around just in case people want to know. I'm an information nut, and I love information. Anytime you give me information about caffeine content and calories and things like that, I'm going to like it. But I mean, it's just you can look at Snapple tea and know exactly how much caffeine is in it. All those Sobe drinks, things like that. So it's a really cool list. So definitely get the link from the show here and check that out. I think you guys will love it.
Yeah, Dos, you're the man. Thanks for doing that. But that will wrap it up for our caffeine discussion. Keith has our next story.
Yeah, just recently, you might have seen this on the news. I saw it all over the news, actually. In the United Kingdom, Britain, the child care workers are trying to take a 200-pound 7-year-old away from his mother. And, the whole basis behind it is that she was an unfit mother and that, you know, at 7 years old, obviously 200 pounds, the kid's morbidly obese. And they want to take the child away from her so he can get some help, because he's on his way to a very early grave. And I thought that story was fascinating from a lot of different fronts. I mean, you know, without getting into a political discussion and you know, a whole libertarian discussion on what you believe in, you know, the bottom line is 200 pounds, 7 years old is awful. I don't know how he got there, and I don't know, you know, whether the mother, it's all the mother's fault, whether he has a metabolic condition, what have you, but just the facts straight up like that, that the kid does need some help. Again, without getting into whether the son belongs in the mother or not, I think that's a much deeper discussion at this point. But what did you think about that, Kev?
Well, I thought this was an extremely interesting story, not only because of this child, but also because I got some information on how Britain is really attacking this obesity epidemic, because right now, Britain has the worst rate of obesity among children in Europe. So they're basically the United States of Europe. And right now, they're doing a lot of things to try to battle this. First, they're trying to ban television advertising for junk food aimed at school-aged children starting next year. And if they did that in America, the corporations would just erupt. They'd be so pissed off. And I don't think it would ever happen in America, but it's great to see that their government is actually doing a lot to combat this.
Yeah.
And there's actually, Keith, you also have a follow-up to this as well.
Yeah, and the follow-up is, you know, and again, if you've been following the story, then obviously you know this, but the follow-up is that, you know, they ruled that the child can stay with his mother now, and they're not going to take him away, but they are going to try to get him some help. And which I think is, in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, I'm not going to make a social commentary now, I think it's the right move. You know, it's the child belongs to his mother. He needs help. You know, now everybody knows he needs help. They're under the gun right now, and I think they can get him some help at this point. I just think it's interesting that Kevin said that the government is taking such steps to get involved in things like this. I think it's a good move in some areas, but you know, they're treading on dangerous ground when they start taking kids away from their parents. On the other side, you know, there are people that are going to argue that obesity is just as dangerous and more dangerous than drug abuse on some level. So if your parents were allowing that to happen at home, they would be taken away from their parents. So I guess it all really depends on how you believe and on what your stance is on those things. But I'm just glad he's getting some help, and maybe it'll shed light on some other things. And I'll let you say some words about that, Kevin, before we get to the next piece of this, but that's even more disturbing. But you know, I'm just glad that you know, he's going to get some help at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's a good and bad story at the same time. And like he said, going as far as taking the child away from his family is pretty intense. And if they had this, if this was like a law, I don't think people would stand for it. But it's nice to see that they are somehow tracking what's going on with the kids in this country, because they are actually realizing this is our future right now. This is what's going to be making the next step in our evolution, whether it be knowledge-based or otherwise. But this is just, it's probably the most intense news story we've ever had on the show, just from its all sides of it. And we have a follow-up piece of audio that was actually on the most piece of crap TV show ever for doing this, but I have to say that it's a interesting news piece nonetheless. It's called like The Insider. It's not the FitCast Insider, I swear, but it's some show called The Insider here. I'll play that clip for you right now.
Dramatic, never-before-seen home video of brave Jessica, barely able to move as her weight doubles to more than 400 pounds. We're going inside her daily struggle and the medical intervention to save Jessica before it's too late.
Why does it hurt your leg, honey?
Yeah.
Newly uncovered dramatic home video of Jessica in distress. Struggling to breathe. Too big for her pants. Stretching her shirt. But still, she can't help but think of food.
You've got any popcorn?
Broadcast for the first time, the footage shows the child's recent startling weight gain, ballooning from 200 pounds at just 5 years old to over 400 pounds at 7 years old. Jessica became too big to walk like a normal child, and to get around, she had to scoot her body across the floor. And then watch as she pulls herself up to sit on the couch.
Yesterday I was holding on to the table and standing up about 30 or 5 minutes. And I got back up and holding on to the table again. And then I had to rest for a minute.
Sometimes it's tough to remember that despite her size, she's just a young girl, still playing with Barbie. I traveled to Jessica's hometown just outside Knoxville, Tennessee, and spoke to those who know her best. As Jessica's weight ballooned, she had the entire town extremely worried.
Jessica weighed about 404 to 410 pounds.
She would be sitting out in the car, you know, and you could just see her. I mean, she was getting pretty big.
Not long after this video was shot, Jessica's life changed dramatically. Doctors ordered her into a pediatric hospital where she was put on a strict diet to lose the massive weight.
All right, that's pretty much the gist of it. And how can you let this happen to your child? How?
I don't know. That's what I was saying. This one's even more disgusting.
And I'm going to throw up the video for you guys on thefitcast.com to watch this, but like you heard in the audio clip, she was 200 pounds at 5 years old. All right, I'm not even 200 pounds, but and also she's already ballooned up to 400 pounds at 7 years old. And remember, we just talked about a story about someone that was 250 pounds when the government was getting involved. We have a child that's 400 pounds, and our government's we're going to Iraq. We got to do some stuff in Iraq or something. But this is disturbing, and I don't know really what to say about it. The video really speaks for itself, and you'll see that on the website.
Well, you know, there's so many things involved here. I mean, you have to ask before you make judgments about this. About, you know, maybe there's something we don't know about. Maybe there's a metabolic condition. Maybe there's a genetic condition. I mean, I think it's too easy just to say, well, how could this happen? How could a parent let their daughter get this way? And I'm sure there's blame to go all the way around. I'm sure that, you know, I mean, here's the blame I'm going to lay. As knowing that she was 200 pounds, they should have gotten help immediately, not let it go to 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. Whether she has a condition or not, you know, obviously when your five-year-old is 200 pounds, you know, that's even too late, but you need to start getting help immediately. But, you know, there's so many different factors that could be involved in this. And again, it's like Kevin said, you know, how, you know, the governments in other countries are starting to get involved in this. It also goes to what you believe in. Is being fat okay? Is being overweight or morbidly obese okay? It depends on what your viewpoints of that are. There's a lot of people out there, believe it or not, and they're probably not listening to this ThickCast, but a lot of people out there that aren't, that would say, yeah, it's fine. It's okay to be that way. I've talked to people before that have no problem with being overweight, and they like themselves that way, and they'll go for the rest of their life being fat, and everything's cool with it. And that's, you know, I guess if it's okay with them, that's fine. But when is it child abuse? That's the question in this and the other story.
Yeah, in both cases, they mentioned that the children were just demanding food and more food, and they're always demanding food, but they kept giving the food to the child, which just doesn't make sense. And if you look in the video, you'll see a brief glimpse of the mother of the child, and she is skinny. She's like 130 pounds. And it's just amazing to see how you could not notice something is wrong in this situation. And I'm not saying for physical appearance wise, I'm saying for health. This girl is 7 years old, and she might not live to 30 if she keeps up with this. It boggles my mind, and I don't even think
it'll get that far. Yeah.
I'm hoping that once, obviously, this video has been all over the internet, and hopefully someone will take notice, some hospital or the government will put out their hand and try to help this family. And they just need help. And I think it's not something where her life's over right now. She can easily, especially at that age, she can turn this around and fix this, whether it be just, they said they have her going on a better diet. Maybe she needs some psychiatric help as well, some counseling. It's just something that they have to get done, and hopefully we'll have a follow-up for this.
Yeah, something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And the scary thing is there's probably a lot more kids out there like her than we know about, and I'm sure that they'll start popping up as this story gets more attention.
I don't doubt it, but again, we're focusing on responsibility. That's the theme of this week's edition of the FitCast. But let's jump into the next news story that comes from Texas. It's titled Texas Campus Serving Healthy Portions. And I think this is a fantastic story. Basically, at the University of North Texas, they have three cafeterias, and their newest cafeteria serves only health-based foods. Basically, there are lots of vegetables, a lot of fresh food, and that actually the name of the cafeteria is called Mean Greens, which right there is just showing you that they're focusing on a healthy outlook on this. And with most of their entrees, they're fewer than 300 calories and 10 grams of fat, and even some of the higher ones only go up to 400 calories. And one thing that the students liked about this is that it helps them actually track how much they're eating, because they're saying, oh, if I'm having this serving size that's actually given to them, they don't pick out their serving size, they're given a serving. So they know that's about 300 or 400 calories. I know how many calories I just got in. And one thing that's just fantastic about this is that it's so popular in the school right now. It's actually probably the most popular of the three dining commons right now. And this is a campus of 32,000 students, and they're doing about 1,000 meals for dinner and lunch every day. It's fantastic to see this. It's fantastic to see that they're actually offering healthy alternatives. And listen to this. Even the desserts are 150 calories or less. I mean, how great is that? If kids just weren't having 500-calorie desserts, that just makes a huge difference. And the kids really love this. And it's one thing that I've started to see on my campus is that my generation, I'd say, has a much healthier outlook on life, and they actually want to be healthier. They want to look better. They want to feel better. And at my newer dining commons at school, they have places where it's an all-vegan menu of food, or they do offer stir-fry where you can get just chicken and broccoli. They have a full range of deli meats where you can get whole wheat bread. And one thing that's actually great is they have natural whole wheat bread. They don't have any high fructose corn syrup. They actually get the bread from a local farm, which I think is amazing. And
wow.
And this is just great that kids are doing this. And Keith, what do you think?
I think it's awesome. I mean, I know, you know, way back when I went to college, I sound like my dad now, but back then, you know, we used to sit in the cafeteria and watch people get fatter by the week. And you know, it's sad to say that, but I mean, you would sit in the same place and see the same people at the same time and watch these people just gorge themselves. And you know, you would thought you were getting healthy things like pasta, but the pasta would be covered in oil and grease. And you thought you were getting healthy things with chicken, but the chicken was fried and not baked. And you know, we're educated. The people that are listening to this show know better, but most people back then, I should say, and you made the point when you said your generation is a lot healthier, and I think that's true because information is everywhere. We didn't have internet back then. We didn't have readily information back then, so we just had to go on what we saw and what people told us. And, you know, I was in a health field, so it was easier for me to get that information, but other people didn't get that. They thought that, you know, by eating bowls and bowls of cereal every day, that was good for them, not knowing, realizing how much sugar was on it and how many calories were in it, and they would follow that up with two bowls of ice cream and things like that. But I think this cafeteria is an excellent idea in a college, you know, where most people do go to college and gain the freshman 15, or I think now it's the freshman 20, I think it went up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a very cool thing, and I wish I had it when I went to school. It would have been a lot easier, that's for sure.
Absolutely. One quote that I found really interesting was from a student that's from Japan who's attending the college, and they said that the healthy selection at Mean Greens reminded her of home, and it's a nice change from the heavier American-style offerings, which just shows you, I mean, if you go look at Tokyo, Japan, there's not many obese people there.
No, and unfortunately, I doubt this is going to be a trend, and I hate to be pessimistic, but it's probably not cost-effective, and it's a lot easier to make fatty, cheap food than it is to make good food. So, I mean, hopefully other schools catch on. But just the way things are driven by money, I doubt it. But, you know, it would be cool to see other schools, you know, take note of this and do the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. I hear what you're saying. The only thing I can think of in rebuttal to that was with the Super Size Me documentary, they had a school that was using healthy alternatives, and they said it was about the same price. And I think what you're talking about, Keith, is with the people that supply the foods to many of the schools and the company that does it here in over 50% of the schools in our country is Sodexo.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, you have to try to get them as a whole to convert.
Yep.
Which, like you said, it's going to be extremely hard to do, and I can only hope. That's all.
Yeah, and the reason I said that, because I actually sat, and I think I mentioned this a couple shows ago I was on, I sat on a committee with a rep from Sodexo about when they were trying to change the eating habits at the school systems, and every time we got to a suggestion, this person would stand up and say, well, yeah, we would like to do that, but it's going to cost us more money, which means the prices would go up, which means the parents wouldn't have that, and then it turned into this big cycle thing, and you're right about it. You know, it could probably be more cost-effective, but the main company, like Sodexo and those other places, would have to jump on board with it.
Absolutely. And our next article is from our good friend Mike Boyle. And Keith, you have that one for us.
Yeah, Mike Boyle, who I respect immensely, and, you know, we talked about him a lot last time, controversial. But this article he did, you know, has nothing but good praise to it, and it should. Mike basically made one of those lists that Kevin was talking about, but it's an awesome list. It's called 25 Years, 25 Mistakes, and it's basically Mike just coming out and he wrote about 25 things or mistakes. I call them life lessons. He called them mistakes that he made along the way. And, you know, a good portion of them are training mistakes, and a good portion of them are just life mistakes in general. I think they were awesome, though, and anybody can learn from this list that he made and adapt it to their life. But if you're in the business, as I am, it was a great list for me because, you know, as I was reading them, I was nodding. Like, yep, yeah, I get that one. I mean, I haven't been in the business as long as Mike, but I have been in longer than a lot of people, and going on my 16th, 17th year, and a lot of the list, you know, struck a chord with me because I agreed with it wholeheartedly. But it's a really cool thing, and if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out the article.
Definitely. One of the great points that he made was he talked about not listening to others, and he talked about talking to Jason Ferrugia. And this was the whole basis of the recent presentation that I saw from him doing much less CNS intensive training with his athletes. And just from one talk with Jason, he's completely remade every single workout he has for his athletes. And that just goes to show you not only...
Yeah, and I remember...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Keith.
No, I'm just saying, I remember I actually spoke, Jason is a very good friend of mine, and we talk a lot, and I remember Jason was telling me about that conversation and how blown away he was that Mike actually was kind of listening to him and took that advice to heart. But, you know, Jason's an extremely smart person and has a ton of experience underneath of him, and he's written some controversial articles that are based on the same kind of discussion that he had with Mike about, you know, sometimes less is more. And unfortunately, the dogma out there is all this high intense, high volume, high frequency, and people think that just because it's the way they've always done it and the way these guys have done it is the way they have to do it. And I think Mike very bluntly before has basically come out and said that, you know, this is the way I do things based on my experiences, based on my mistakes. And then he writes an article like this where he just, you know, he's throwing in little things like that. And like you said, the one about the CNS intensive, you know, I've always believed that, and I don't think I've really understood it or it's really, you know, hit home to me until I really heard Jason talk about it and Mike talk about it more so. And it's changed the way I approach training with my athletes and my clients as well.
Yeah, all very good stuff. And for people who want to check out that one, it's actually mistake number 7, adding without subtracting, where he talks about that. And again, it's a presentation. If you get to see Mike Bowen, he does that presentation. Make sure to check it out because you'll find yourself reconsidering everything that you've thought in terms of training as well. So definitely keep a lookout for that. And there's going to be a DVD of the seminar that I saw a couple weeks back. So you should be able to find that at mikeboyle.biz in the near future. So keep a lookout. And if it does get up there, I'll have a link for it on the FitCast. Our next story is all about Wendy's, my favorite, believe it or not, my favorite fast food company. Because if I eat fast food, I'm probably going to eat Wendy's. If I have a cheap meal, I'm probably going to go to Wendy's. But anyways, they disappointed me a little bit this time. Wendy's International has pulled nutritional posters with calorie information from its New York City locations yesterday in an effort to free itself from a city regulation requiring some restaurants to provide calorie data on menus and menu boards. Basically, Wendy's has more than 50 restaurants in the 5 boroughs of New York, and they've decided to just take away all that information, to take that away so their customers can't see it. But a spokesman from Wendy's, Denny Lynch, said that for the hamburger chain, its posters were replaced with new ones that still provide nutritional information on fats, carbohydrates, and sugars of all the items on the menu, but they're going to leave out their calories, their amount of calories. And this is just, they're trying to say that they're trying to defend themselves, because if someone sees that something on their menu has 700 calories, they might not buy it. And
sure they would.
It makes sense. Oh yeah, of course. I don't even think people, even if the thing's up there, I don't think people are even going to go out of their way to see how many calories are in the number 7.
Well, the only thing I can think of with this, Kevin, is obviously it kind of goes back to, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, then you have nothing to worry about type of thing. And I think that a lot of, you know, Wendy's has been notorious for having very high calorie, high fat foods in the past, more so than a lot of other restaurants. And I used to compare the calorie counts of Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's with my class when I taught a nutrition unit, and Wendy's was always right up there at the top. For example, in contrast, Subway has never been shy about posting their calorie and fat content on things because they really don't have anything to worry about. So it just shows me, I mean, I don't know if it's a good business move. I mean, I guess if I was going to pick and choose one and I knew that a company pulled their nutritional information, I probably wouldn't go back there because it just tells me they're hiding something.
Yeah, it's surprising that they're doing this, especially when you go to many chain restaurants, even at the Uno's down the street from me. They actually have a touchscreen monitor at the front so you can look at what you're thinking about purchasing before you even purchase it, because if you look at that pizza and it has 2,500 calories in it, it might make you think about doing that again. And it's great that some places are doing that and they actually stand behind their food and they said, well, at least it tastes good, you know? At least it tastes good.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have a problem if Wendy's had a 2,000-calorie hamburger and they posted it and people wanted to eat it, and it comes back to what we said before, responsibility. I would have no problem with, go ahead, you know what you're eating, get into it, go for it. But the fact that they're pulling their calorie count and they're trying to hide something is, you know, that doesn't really sit well with me. And this has nothing to do with my belief on whether the government or the state should have regulatory powers over restaurants. I mean, the fact of the matter is they asked them to do it, they did it, and now they're pulling it. It just seems kind of fishy at this point.
Yeah, especially with some other fast food companies. For example, McDonald's now, they put the nutritional information on the box for that hamburger itself, or they put it on the back of the French fries. And I think that's fantastic. I haven't eaten at McDonald's in 3 years, but if I did, at least I know what I'll be eating. So
exactly, and that's, it's all about information. I mean, give people information, let them decide. If your product's good, then they'll buy it. If it's not, then they won't.
Absolutely, but again, this is probably going to be a battle that is going to wage war, the fast food world war that's going to go on. So we'll get out of that, and we'll jump into our last article with Keith, and it's an article that I'm happy to have on the show.
Yeah, I saw this article, and right away I thought of you, Kevin, because I know I read about you getting the Wii. Is it pronounced Wii? Am I right with that? I mean, I don't even know if it's Wii or Y, but with the Wii video game, which basically puts you in the driver's seat to actually control the action with your hands and your body. So basically, what this article talks about is can kids or adults, because they aren't the only ones that play these games, can people get a workout, or can they get fit through video games? And what they're finding out is a lot of these people actually have lost weight and have gotten a little fitter by playing these video games. And I remember making a comment a few years back when I saw that Dance Dance Revolution come out, and I think I was on the Jersey Shore on the boardwalk, and I saw kids. And they had a whole crowd out there, and I saw kids on this machine for what seemed like an hour, and they were just out of breath and sweaty, and I said, man, that's a great workout. And so I guess if you're going to play video games, it's a lot better if you can get involved physically with it. What do you think about it, Kev? You have one, right?
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic. And in this case, I'm gonna be honest with you guys out there. Outside of the fitness and FitCast and all that stuff, I play a lot of video games because, I mean, at college it's kind of a requirement with the curriculum. And in my case, it's with the Nintendo Wii. I mean, they have a boxing game that if you play a couple rounds of this game, you will be huffing and puffing. I don't care if you're in great shape or not. You will actually start breaking a sweat. I brought it into my physiology of exercise class at the end of last semester, and my teacher was blown away. He's like, I'm tired, man. I'm getting hot. And it's just a great, it's a great thing to see. And even some of the simpler games like Zelda, which is the best-selling game on it, you got to move your arm throughout the whole game pretty much, and you get it. You're using both arms, even if you're sitting down. That's still a pretty nice workout. And it's projected that they're going to be announcing a new Wii Fitness game again. I'm in a video game, so I read up on them a little bit, but they're going to be announcing a new Wii video game called Wii Fitness, which is going to be all about body weight squats, doing like things like push-ups, doing like pretending like you're doing an overhead press with remotes, things like that. And I think that's awesome. And even some companies out there are making some money off of things like ankle weights. They actually have like Wii branded wrist weights. I'm sorry, where they have Nintendo branded ones. And I think it's just it. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I'm kind of torn on this in one aspect, because I would never advocate playing video games in any way, shape, or form to replace regular normal exercise. I mean, and I don't think you're saying that either. But I mean, if kids are going to be playing video games, I'd much rather have them be playing something active.
Yeah,
that's going to get them moving. I mean, and this isn't the first time this has been around. I mean, people my age or my generation. Now I'm dating myself. You know, Nintendo came out with a track and field years ago.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, we used to play that where they had the touch pads. I mean, it was real archaic back then because they didn't have the technology. But basically, you know, if you remember that, you had a pad and you had to run as fast as you can on the pad to run the 100. And, you know, they had all kinds of things in there. But we used to get a great workout doing that. And, you know, this is naturally 20-some years later, this is the progression. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, just a follow-up on all this is that I actually saw an article where they brought a Nintendo Wii into a nursing home, and the people there loved it. They were doing things like playing bowling. They were even doing the boxing. And if you go into a nursing home, the worst thing you can have is sedentary people. If they're just sitting around all the time, that's not great. So even something like buy a Nintendo Wii for the nursing home, if you can actually find one in the store, and get a little bit of exercise out of it. I think it's great for that older audience that might not be able to go to the gym and lift weights or go do some jogging or walking on the track.
Yeah, but you just want to be careful that they get a clearance from their doctor, and then you're going to have a lawsuit because some 85-year-old woman's going to drop dead from playing Wii because she had a heart attack or something.
Oh, she dropped dead from playing Zelda. That's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a great story, and I hope to keep following this and to see what happens in the future. And I'm hoping that Nintendo's going to announce this Wii Fitness game this week at this a video game conference or whatever. Again, I'm acting like a nerd, but that's how I am.
Well, maybe you can send the video game to that 200-pound and 400-pound kid.
Yeah,
and maybe that could be a start to their get them on the show and get them back on the right track.
I don't want to give up my Wii that bad, but
I know.
We'll see. I'll send Nintendo an email, see what we can do.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we'll get some demo units for the summit or something like that. But that's going to wrap it up for the news. Before we go, like I said, at the end of this show, keep listening if you want to hear about the upcoming JP Fitness Summit, where, like I said, a ton of people are going. I mean, Alan Cosgrove, Dose is going to be there. Michael Roussel from our opposing podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. Mike, you're the man. And check out Muscle and Cuts Radio. He's a good guy. So I got to give a shout-out to Mike. He was on the show in the past. Also, I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, but so many people are going to be there. I can't think off the top of my head.
Well, I'm not going to be at that one, but I'll definitely be at the Boston seminar, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, perform better. And actually, that reminds me that John Berardi is doing a seminar in Boston in April or May. I'll get a final date on that, but he's doing it with Eric Cressy, I think. He's doing it at Excel, which is Eric's gym. So I'll make sure to post a link for that up on the show notes. This is going to be the longest show notes of all time, but I'm going to have it all up there. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. John Williams, we miss you. We hope we see you next week. For everyone out there, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com, thefitcastinsider.com, and also thefitcastinsider.com/store. Got all those links for you. And as always, check out the show on iTunes, submit a review, do whatever you got to do. And that's going to be pretty much it for us. For the Fitcast episode number 39, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Keith Scott.
take care and go play with your weight. We'll see you next time. Hey everybody, thanks for downloading this week's show once more. Again, this is my end of the show segment where I just talk about some random crap for a little bit. But I must say, one heck of a show. Again, thanks to Keith for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have him on. He always has a great outlook on many of the stories. So thank you again, Keith. And we did have a bunch of stories this week. We had about 6 stories with sub-stories. So it was pretty busy these past couple weeks. Again, you have to check out that deal at Vitamin Shop. I mean, those ready-to-drinks are so convenient, and it's great to not have that creatine precursor in, which you all remember from previous episode of the FitCast. Can't remember which one, but that was a couple months ago. But anyways, yeah, our one-year anniversary is coming up pretty damn soon. It's coming up in about 2 months. Again, we're on episode 40, and if you figure an episode every week, that's 52 episodes. But we did miss about probably 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks tops, but we have missed a couple. So our 1 year anniversary is really going to be probably on our 45th or 46th show, maybe 47th. But hopefully we're going to try to get John out to Little Rock to do that, because if any of you guys watch any video podcasts out there, I think it would be a blast to do a live episode of the FitCast with 50 people behind us, and we can have the guests from the summit come on and sit with us and talk, and we'd be able to offer it in video and audio format. I think it'd be really cool. So if anyone out there wants to submit any ideas for our 100th anniversary show, if you wanted us to do something crazy, maybe we can have a protein drinking contest, or we can do some diet soda shake, something stupid like that, let us know. Also, just an update on my progress with Chad Waterbury's programs. I just finished Big Boy Basics, and as many of you out there know, that's a really great program. I saw some good gains in size and strength, which is good. I'm starting to look less like a sissy boy. I'm starting to look more like, I don't know, someone that's into fitness and nutrition, which is always a good sign. So right now, I finished that up, starting anti-bodybuilding hypertrophy. Just started day 1 yesterday, going to be doing day 2 tomorrow on Monday. So I'm really enjoying Chad's programs. They get you out of the gym within an hour, and you don't feel too bad as long as you're doing plenty of foam rolling. Oh, that reminds me, foam rolling. Mike Robertson just did an interview with me for the FitCast Insider for a future show where we talked about the 2 most preventable injuries in a bunch of different sports, and believe it or not, foam rolling was a major preventable exercise to do. So that's something you should expect to see on the Insider and on the store in the probably 2 weeks from now, because we just wrapped up our 3rd interview from last month. But anyways, we have Carl Valley coming on next week. Many of you heard me talk about Carl from the Mike Boyle seminar I went to. He actually designed Cytofuse, which is a post-workout drink. I'm sure you'll probably hear plenty about that next week. So look for the newsletter for this week and submit some questions for Carl. I'm sure he'll be happy to answer any questions on training, also post-workout and pre-workout nutrition, and talk about his new Cytofuse, because that is a pretty good post-workout supplement. And it seems like a lot of people are jumping on board with him, and including Mike Boyle. That's all they use at his facility. So, I do trust Mike for some things. Actually, pretty much everything. I mean, how great was that article? Check that out. I mean, just all great information from Mike Boyle. But I'm going to stop rambling. Up right now is the interview with JP of JP Fitness, John Paul. So, check that out. Hopefully, I'll see you at his seminar coming up in April. And I'll let you go. Thanks again for downloading. Thanks to all you out there. You guys are the best. I hope you all join us for our 1 year anniversary episode. I'll see you next time. With me right now is JP of jpfitness.com and also his JP Fitness Forums. And we're actually here to talk about his upcoming fitness summit that I and possibly John Williams will be attending this year. And many of you out there in the FitCast world know that I attended last year and had such an amazing time. And once again, it's coming up this year. And JP, first, I just want to ask you, who's going to be presenting this year? And you have an amazing lineup.
Yeah, I sort of outdid myself this year. Our headliner this year is Alan Cosgrove, which you saw him at Ryan Lee's boot camp. He's mm-hmm. just amazing, great speaker, and you know, just hilarious and brilliant, and got all you know, just every he's going to be doing a presentation on just the most current research on real world fat loss. And if you get something wrong, if you get one of his questions wrong, he's going to call you an idiot. I love that. You know, he's like, and what do you think of this? Like, if you believe that, you're an idiot. He's great. And then, of course, Lou Schuler, who's been to all but the very first one, mm-hmm. And actually did help me with a sponsorship on the first one when he was still with Men's Health. And he's actually going to be giving a talk this year as well, not just sitting in the big chair and being the king. he's going to talk about how to write fitness and get published.
Awesome.
People who've been to these events and anybody who frequents my forum is all too familiar with Bill Hartman. He's got a list of certifications after his name. I mean, he's got so many suffixes after his name. It's like, at some point you go, what's the point? And he's just a freaking genius. And he's every year he comes back, everybody just gets blown away. You know, I could just do nothing but a Bill Hartman summit every summer. I mean, every spring, and I think people would just keep coming year after year because he's just that good. fantastic speaker, just real laid back, real fun to hang out with. Afterwards, you know, he's just real easygoing, and just really takes time to listen to people. And he did a lot of ART with his overdeveloped adductor transversus muscles. He was jamming his thumbs into people's hips and shoulders and subscaps and making us scream and come back for more, fixing our shoulder aches and pains. He'll be coming back this year. In fact, he is going to be doing his presentation on shoulder stability and injury diagnosis and rehab. So it's going to be a great segment from him. You know, if you've read his, he's been doing quite a few articles with Mike Robertson on that. So that's going to be a great presentation from him. Another regular, of course, on the forums is Coach Dos Remedios, who is, as Bill described him, a mountain of man. He's just a big fella, and looks like he could probably curl you in the squat rack quite easily.
Absolutely.
He just wrote a book called The Men's Health Book of Strength, and that's actually going to be his presentation title, Philosophy and Program Design. And for a little bit of extra money, if people want to do we're going to have a hands-on with Olympic weights, and he's going to teach people like Olympic lifting technique and combinations and various stuff like that. I think everybody who has been involved in fitness in the last 10 years has to know who Charles Daly is, and especially those of us. And I think if I remember, I've read recently you started doing escalating density training.
Yeah.
And it's just the most beautiful, badass way to train I've ever used, and I love to use it. I use it on my clients, and it's just. And anyway, he is a. I actually went to see him right after Ryan Lee's boot camp. I went down to his summit down in Phoenix, and just really enjoyed it. Enjoyed meeting him, and he's another one of those great speakers. He's an icon in the industry, and he's going to be doing his presentation on escalating density training hopefully introducing a lot of people to it who haven't seen it. Another returning speaker is Chad Waterbury, and he just wrote Muscle Revolution, which you've got a copy of that, right?
Yep, yep, awesome book.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he is one of the few people I know who can actually make the nervous system and its interaction with the muscles understandable. He's just a really good communicator. And so he's going to be doing a his presentation is going to be how the nervous system controls your muscles, and he's going to just line it out, help everybody understand how to calculate how much they fatigue, and how to design programs around your fatigue. You know, the way your around your central nervous system and the way it interacts with your muscles. And the summit that he presented at, he just, I almost had to, you know, sometimes just set down the camera because I was just, I recorded the whole thing. We never did a DVD of that one, unfortunately. I still have the raw footage. One of these days I just may put it together, but it was pretty low quality compared to last year's. And Jed was really, really brilliant. And and of course, he, you know, looks like a gladiator, looks like more like a Viking. He looks like somebody who about a millennia ago was probably pillaging and raping and taking over villages. And he just is, you know, this huge guy with this big head of blonde hair, and he just looks like you need a helmet with some horns on it, and he's just so laid back, and he's just real reserved and real real good, real level speaker, kind of expecting to swing a broadsword. Instead, he's sitting there telling you in detail about the nervous system. It's I haven't heard doctors be able to explain it as well as he does. So I guess what's his actual title? I think he's a physiologist, but I think he's something. I think he's got some sort of special. What is his special training? It's something.
A high frequency training?
Oh well. That's the way he tells people to train. But I mean, he's got some sort of special certification or some sort of special his physiology is a little bit more neurophysiology. I think that's what it's called. Neurophysiology is his background. Now you were here last year. I think you saw Zig Ziglar, right?
Oh yes.
Zig is the founder of Motion DNA. It's a patented software that is a biomechanical motion capture analysis software. And he's got a new TV show that's actually a national TV show debuting on Fox Sports starting, I think, March 30th or something like that. And his show is going to be called Fitness from the Ground Up. And he basically... will teach people how to do. He's just going to explain how to analyze movement, and he's going to explain to us how to. He'll give us a demonstration of the Motion DNA software and hardware, and give us an explanation of how we generate force, and let us look at. Like the kinematic sequences of the joint rotation speeds and club head speeds or bat speeds he can break down your movement and show you basically where along the kinetic chain you're not performing and where further up the chain you're compensating for that and how it's affecting your performance and it's not the difference between him and someone like if you have a pitching coach or a bat swinging coach or a golf coach or whatever, is that, you can have 10 different experts analyze what you're doing and they're going to have 10 different things. What he's doing is actually collecting objective data, and he's able to show you how to interpret that objective data to basically patch the holes in your performance and make your, swing or throw or gait or whatever more efficient. So he's going to be giving us a pretty thorough rundown on that. A newcomer to my summits this year is Michael Roussel. He is a nutritionist, and he's got that other show. Anyway, he's got Maxed Out Radio.
Maxed Out Radio, yeah.
So,
me and Mike are on good terms, so.
I know. Being funny, it's like, you know, we should get a little iTunes radio show or a little iPod radio show battle going on. guys trash talking each other or something. Anyway, I had a few phone conversations with him, and I was just really convinced that he has to come to this thing because he is really doing a lot of research. He's done a lot of research on nutrient timing, and he can actually explain to us what it is and why we need to know what it is and how to do it. And so, it's not a matter of cutting your carbs. It's a matter of, you know, when to eat which carbs and when to eat which proteins. And he can break that down really easily for us to maximize our performance through nutrition. So, this is the first time I'm having him here. I'm really excited. Another first that we're having this year is a guy named David Schmitz, who you saw at Ryan Lee's thing, and that's where I saw him, is at Ryan Lee's boot camp. And David Schmitz just blew my mind. I mean, the guy is just insane good. He's a physical therapist, and he's got a bunch of other certifications, CSCS, PES, all that stuff. And he's created his own boot camp class using those resistance bands. And he is nobody really knows what to expect from him because nobody really knows who he is from at least from our forums, from the JP Fitness forums. But let me tell you that this guy is going to be the surprise hit of the event because, you know, people are just there, you know, he is going to step out and just, he's so full of energy. He's such a dynamic speaker. He's so knowledgeable, and he's going to show you how to make that band, you know, perform and how it can make you perform. He is using a few of the things that I learned from him, I've already enhanced the performance of several of my clients. So I'm really looking forward to have him come out. I'm really excited to have, he's actually going to be doing like a large class. We're going to move all the chairs aside. We're just going to all get out there on the floor and do these. He's going to bring a boatload of bands, and we're all just going to get out there on the floor and work out, and he's going to kick our butts is what he's going to do, and show us some really fun ways to train our clients or train ourselves. And like I said, I think he's going to be the sleeper hit of the event. He's you know, because nobody knows what to expect from him, and you saw him, so you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
A lot of the people coming to this event have not seen him. You know, he just has that charisma and energy. And I think he's going to be a real big hit at the event. And one of my MCs at the event is a guy named David Basil, who's actually been a longtime friend of mine. Actually, he was my first boss when I moved to Arkansas. I worked for him at Gold's Gym back in the, you know, I almost feel like saying 70s. It was like back in the 80s. And we've been friends and we've been worked together on several things. He's actually a really interesting character. He was a star football player for the Razorbacks and blew out his shoulders and knees so he couldn't go pro, but he was team captain and, you know, he played on the Razorbacks during the Lou Holes years when they were really, really good, in other words. way back when the Razorbacks actually used to be good. here's this that is a Razorback, they're going to be like sending me hate mail. but he also created, are you familiar with the Broyles Award? It's the first Assistant Coach of the Year award in the 100 year history of college football, actually. It's an award that goes out, and in fact I think it's like 5 or 6 years that they've been doing this event, and every single coach who has won a Broyles Award has gone on to become a head coach somewhere. And a very successful head coach, like, you know, Florida and so on and so forth. I mean, the guys, and so his he's been a sportscaster. He's got a radio show now, and he's just done a little bit of everything. His bio is actually on the website. It's really worth a read. He's He brought the state weightlifting championships to Arkansas. He's been real involved with all sorts of stuff. Got me involved with Special Olympics, and actually was the reason I got into the Governor's Council. He was the chairman when I got involved, and when he stepped down, I succeeded him as chairman of the Governor's Council of Fall and Fitness. So a lot of our histories are very intertwined, and he's a really great guy, and he's a great public speaker. I'm hoping I can get him up there as much as possible, so I don't have to get up there. And of course, last but not least, you got your humble host, me. And I think most people who are on that forum know me pretty well. I'm the Uber host, and Little Rock is my stomping grounds, and I like to entertain. So we are going to have a fantastic time. We're going to be. I am for some of the extra activities. I've got some really fun things scheduled. Like on Saturday night, I've got a nightclub basically reserved for us. So after everybody gets done with the event, we're all going to go to a nightclub and party down, and then we're going to go all just kind of do our own thing all around the River Market, and maybe hit the Flying Saucer. Dose was commenting on the forums about how he was amazed to find out what a beer capital Little Rock is, and it really is. Actually, we've got a lot of great microbreweries. I can't believe I'm doing this on a fitness show. I'm talking about great beer. you can censor this if you like. But like the Flying Saucer had over 300 beers, and of course, the waitresses aren't hard to look at either. judging by the photos from last year's events that everybody's posting up right now. And of course, it wouldn't be the same if Kevin Larrabee weren't coming. This year, you're coming back again, so I'm really excited to see you there again, and hopefully we can get a chance to pull aside. You can pull some of these speakers aside and talk to them. I am going to be recording this. Actually, unlike last year, I'm not just hiring just an average videographer. Although the guy last year did a really good job, I was really pleased with him. I mean, he did perfect for what I could afford last year. This year, I've hired a professional multimedia company and video reproduction company. These guys are going to shoot this in broadcast quality video. I mean, it's going to be. I've got three cameras. I've got, it's going to, there's going to be a, freestanding camera and two roaming cameras. They're going to be editing this thing on the fly. The speakers are going to be getting their discs, like, handed to them as they come off the stage. They're going to be editing like that. And then when we get done with the total event, I've got the next 4 days scheduled in an edit suite with them. We're going to literally have this thing out and ready and reproduced and ready for sale probably within a week of getting done with the event.
Awesome.
Unlike last year when it took me like 3 months to get it done, we'll get this thing up and running really quick. These guys are extremely good, and the quality of the video is going to be fantastic. I don't know if I should say this yet or not, because we're investigating doing this, and obviously I want everybody who can get here to get here. But I might even be doing a webcast of the event, and if we do a live webcast, and if where people can actually even interact. So if we do that, hopefully we'll there might be some people who can't get hotels and can't do the flights right now, can't get away, but they could actually watch and attend the entire event. At least not all the social stuff; they'd miss it on all that stuff. But the entire presentations, at least, of all the speakers. And I'll be finding out in a few days if we can actually do that. And I think we can. It's just trying to figure out how to, how to set it up, through the site and all that stuff. There's a little bit of footwork we have to end up. I tell you a few days out.
Sounds good.
So are you excited about coming?
What's that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if many people probably saw my post from last year, but I ended up going. I found out within 2 days of my flight that I was going to be coming in. I mean, I had probably the greatest time. I mean, from all the people that you meet there, not only the presenters, but it's a very close-knit community. And even if you're not part of the JP Fitness forums, you're still going to have a great time. And one of the best parts about this is that aside from some of those summits where there's like 300 people there, you actually get to talk to the presenters personally, which is great. And I mean, you really can't put a price tag on that.
No, really. And you know, actually, I've even kind of worked it out where, like, the speakers will be they'll be mingling. I'll have them spread out really well so that everybody will get really get some opportunities to, you know, get hands-on or you know, in up close and personal with the speakers and get to spend time with them. You know, I mean, every one of them, they're just such good people anyway. I mean, you know, I've known most of these guys for years. You know, there's a couple of people that are just sort of like Dave is just sort of new. I just met him last fall, but you know, everybody on here, and he's just, you know, was extremely gracious and friendly guy, and I just, you know, immediately liked him. So, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're just so down to earth. You know, they're not at all, you know, don't approach me. You know, they're very approachable, very friendly, and these events, like you said, I mean, you meet people who end up being, you know, lifelong friends. I met James Newman, who is the host of the Live and Large Forum, at the Charles Daly event, and he just came up and wanted to get a picture with me and Lou, because Lou was at that event as well. And, you know, it was great because after I got to talk to him, I just found out what an amazing guy he is. You know, he's so intelligent and educated and a great writer. And, you know, found out that he had, you know, lost like 270 pounds. And,
yeah.
And I was like, gee. So, you know, I mean, you know, you just really meet some inspiring people at these things, people who've just got, you know, real stories to tell. And, it was so funny at that Charles Daly thing. I was sitting for the first day. I sat next to Chris Sugart the whole time. Didn't even know who he was. I was sitting between him and Lou, and I had no idea, you know, who this guy is. I was just, you know, and next thing you know, I was like, wait a minute, you're Chris Sugart? He's like, yeah, like, I'm the It was so funny. So we got to hang out a little bit. He just cracked me up, man. He is. You know, there are some people that you know, they write one way and their personalities are totally different in person. You know, with Chris. He is his persona. That persona that you read, that sort of, you know, just real sharp tongued wit. You know, just real quick. You know, he is hilarious. Have you met him before? Have you met him at any of these events?
No, not yet, but he is coming to Boston in a couple of weeks, and there's a small chance I might be getting out to see that.
Well, just grab him and take him out to lunch and just, you know, take his, just a just sit in and talk to him for a bit. He is hilarious. He has all his stitches. He was just you know, that last event was really great. I got to meet Lonnie Lowry, you know, I tell you, these events, you know, they're addictive. You know, they're kind of, it can get a little expensive when you start doing three and four a year. But, you know, I'm hoping that hoping people will look at this lineup and say, gosh, I don't know if I can miss this. You know, that you don't get a lineup like this every, you know, this is like the planets have aligned.
Definitely.
You know,
JP, before we go, I could you tell everyone out there just a little bit about the accommodations and also where they can register for the summit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to register, go to the website, jpfitnesssummit.com. That's all one word, jpfitnesssummit.com. And, yes, that is three S's in a row. I'm just saying that because somebody asked me, is that three S's? Yes, three S's. Go to jpfitnesssummit.com, and you can read more about the speakers, obviously, and there's information there about the hotels, and also you can click on the register link, and you can register directly from there. The price is $199 to register for the event, which, if you think about how much any one of these people would charge you to share their knowledge with you, you know, in person is you know, it's just a would be a bargain at 10 times the price, but you're getting, you know, like 10 of these guys or 9 of them. And we're going to be hosting it this year. It's too big to do at my facility this year. So we are doing it at the Jack Stevens Athletic Center at the campus of UALR. And It's a brand new facility built at on the campus of UALR for their basketball team, and we're going to be actually in a huge practice court, and I'm going to have it all set up for this event. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, they're going to lay out carpet so we don't have too much reverb. They do a lot of events in that building, apparently. And then we're just down the hall from a fully equipped Olympic training room. I mean, Olympic weight set and platforms and all that stuff from a properly outfitted strength training room. And that's where Dose will be doing his breakout session. And I think we're pretty close to full on Dose's breakout session, so we may do an overflow session if more people keep signing, if more people want to do this. So if I get, you know, a few more signups, then we're going to break it up into smaller groups and move more people over. This year we're going to be we're actually too big even for the hotel that we were in last year, so we're going to be staying in a hotel pretty close to the airport, so it'll be convenient getting in and out from the airport. It's the Holiday Inn Select, and it's a really nice room. I went and checked it out. They had a indoor pool, at a like any hotel, pretty lame fitness center, but what do you expect? Any of the guests who come here can obviously work out of my facility. That'll be a little complimentary thing, and I hope they do come up and check the place out. And if I see one person curling in the squat rack, he will get hit in the head with a dumbbell. We're going to be, there's a few details I'm still kind of working on. You know, we're still a month and a half out, so figuring out exactly how I'm going to get everybody, where everybody's going to eat lunch and all that stuff. I still haven't worked that stuff out yet, but we'll get there. I mean, I'll get that. That stuff is information is any kind of updates. Just check the website on a daily basis. If you check the website daily, you literally will see changes taking place daily. Like the schedule should be going up any day now. It might even go up tonight. The actual schedule of events, like when the speakers are going to go on and everything. So, so check that daily. And there is a obviously, if you want to find out what happens at these summits, you can go to the website, and there's a you can buy the DVD itself from last year, the 2006 JP Fitness Summit. It's a little different than this year, but it'll still give you an idea of kind of what the crowd's like. Yeah. And just how much fun we're going to have. Do you have any other information you want to know about it?
No, I think that will pretty much wrap it up. So, I mean, everyone out there, definitely go check out jpfitnesssummit.com and also jpfitness.com and jump on the forums there if you haven't already. You'll see forum topics for not only just about the summit, but also for roommates. So don't forget to check that out. And as always, we'll have links for all that on thefitcast.com. And once again, JPS, want to thank you for joining us on the show, and hopefully we'll see a lot of FitCast listeners there.
Thanks so much for having me again, Kevin. It's great talking to you.
Thanks.
I'll see everybody at the summit.